Baker! Our mission begins now! Let us rain some doom down upon the filthy heads of our doomed enemies!
I gotta sing the doom song now! Doom, 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 doom!
Would you please stop singing?
Proximity warning. Planet ahead.
Grr! We're here! We're finally here!
What's that?
Planet Earth.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, which is still here, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to the new eon. What are you playing?
I don't know.
Honey, what are you playing? Turn that off. Oh, no, it's me. Sorry. Well, sorry, it's a news page I went to, and there were two videos on this page.
Sorry about that.
Let me just...
Well, just in case you're keeping track, time since the event started is 12 hours, 20 minutes, and 11 seconds. 13, 14.
Sorry, I'm trying to turn this off. Turn it off! Video? No. Audio? Sorry, trying to... You'd think they'd make this easy where I could just hit... Finally, mute.
There we go.
There was a news page that I wanted to... Could you turn my ears up a little bit?
Sure.
A news page that I wanted to talk about. Thank you very much. But it has two videos playing on it, and they're the same video.
Isn't that annoying?
One at the bottom of the sideboard, one at the bar, this one at the very bottom.
Just a word of advice for webmasters. Don't auto-start the video when people click onto your page.
No,
that is really,
just
really aggravating.
Annoy us.
Yes. So anyway, well, it is December 21st of 2012, and as we expected, we are still here.
We're here, despite the fact that Zim and Gurr
sang
tried
the doom song for months on end.
Yeah. 6 months.
Yeah. A little audio from in the cartoon Invader Zim, which is brilliant if you like black humor, dark humor.
It
started out. Yeah, Gurr singing the doom song as they're preparing to rain doom upon the filthy earth monkeys, which of course never happens.
And they also call us meat sacks.
Yeah. So, the doom, now, this makes me wonder, because, you know, the time since the event started is actually an app on a website that's devoted to the Mayan apocalypse, Mayan doomsday. You know, time since the event started, 12 hours, 21 minutes, and 50 seconds, as of right now. it's like, why bother?
You and I have been saying this for a couple of years, at least, if not since the very beginning, mm-hmm. that not at any point did the Mayans, you know, imply that we were going to implode any kind. We might, you know, auto-start videos, but that's about as bad as it's going to get.
Yeah.
This is simply the turning over of a new time count.
That's right.
Like going to January 1st. We going to freak out on January 1st?
Well, I don't know. The calendar we got from our insurance agent ends on December 31st.
No! I've already seen a doom story for next year, though, because it's 2013.
Oh, 13, yeah. I wondered about this, if the Mayan doomsayers were going to do like Harold camping and just sort of recalculate the calendar, you know, or like the GPS when you go past the turn, recalibrating, make a U-turn at next, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, never mind.
I've got to ask you, though. You looked this up. What was Giorgio Tsokalos doing last night?
That's what I was trying to think of. Giorgio Tsokalos. Tsokalos, the crazy hair guy from the Ancient Aliens series on History Channel. He is actually responsible for binding the universe together.
With that hair.
That's right. The gel that he uses keep his hair standing.
Very well.
Yeah. A little more volume? Those new headphones are a little bass heavy.
They are. And because of that, sorry.
I can swap the headphones with you.
No, that's okay. I'm fine.
Yeah, those are comfortable, but they're a little bassy. Yeah, he was in New Orleans and had a party that you could attend. And the marketing
Giorgio,
the marketing slug line was, bind the universe together by rocking out. And for a 50,
in New Orleans.
Yeah, in New Orleans. So for 55
And what's that
bucks,
got to do with the Mayan, calendar?
Nothing. Of course, Giorgio is, he was claiming to have debunked the Mayan calendar a long time ago. Mike Heiser was on Coast to Coast AM last night, Thursday night, December 20th and 21st, to talk about prophecy and debunking the Mayan calendar. Chris White has done the 2012
wonderful
debunkumentary a long time ago and pointed
and
out how this was just a...
And one on Tsokalos.
And one on Tsokalos, an Ancient Aliens debunked. So he's taken them both down. Yeah. So you watch out. You get Heiser and White on the same team. And, unless it's fantasy baseball. Mike has some work to do there in his fantasy baseball strategy, but other than that, he's pretty solid. Chris White, don't know about his fantasy baseball skills yet. We might find out this coming year.
Well, there's a little meme on Facebook going around, those little posters getting back to the doom at, and it said, the Mayan calendar, it doesn't mean, the end of the world, it means the end of Twinkies. Well, we did lose Twinkies this year, and we also, as of yesterday, looks like we've lost the New York Stock Exchange.
What?
That 200-year-old institution is going down, and it's going to become part of the international ICE, the International Commodities Exchange.
I think that's it, yeah.
Which is a new company. They are only 12 years old. They were established in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. They are out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they've made most of their money on derivatives, which means essentially making money out of thin air.
Derivatives are
It's like banking.
Financial instruments, right. The financial instruments that were traded back and forth that led to the mortgage crisis. Derivatives are essentially blocks of, the mortgage-backed securities are just one type of derivative.
It's the Quatloo game.
Right.
I'll bet that they can't pay their mortgage I bet they can.
Yeah. They actually have financial instruments that you can invest in and speculate on based on your guess as to future interest rates.
As if they're commodities.
Those are in fact commodities. Right.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
The whole idea behind stock is that you purchase a share of a company that actually produces some good or service, and then the value of that company rises or falls based on the success of that company in the marketplace. Okay, that's what it is roughly in a nutshell. And as the company makes a profit, then it pays out dividends to those shareholders. But these derivatives are like trading in futures, but you're trading in futures of things that don't actually exist. In the commodity exchanges, you will agree to take delivery of, say, so many thousands or so many thousands of bushels of corn or so many tons of coal or so many barrels of oil at some future date.
Right.
But you can trade those agreements with other speculators before the actual delivery date of that commodity based on changes in the market, how change in weather affects the corn crop, how changes in demand affect the supply of oil, things like that. But the mortgage-backed securities and these interest rate futures exchanges, essentially, you might as well be trading baseball cards for all the effect that these things actually have on actual economic activity. And the reason this has really caught our attention is that we're talking about an $8.2 billion transaction where this relatively new exchange, the Intercontinental Exchange, or ICE, based out of Atlanta, is buying the New York Stock Exchange, which has been around since shortly after the United States declared independence from Great Britain.
Yes, I know.
I mean, the New York Stock Exchange has been around for 220 years.
Many things that have been, they're part of the part and parcel of the United States as we understand them. they're starting to crumble. Mm-hmm. The New York Stock Exchange is going to become, you know, under this big umbrella out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
The many newspapers that have essentially told us what to think and do for a couple of hundred years, they're starting to crumble. They're trying to figure out, how do we make any kind of money in this internet age?
Mm-hmm.
People aren't buying the paper products anymore. They're not buying the paper books. They're not buying the printed magazines. They're not buying the printed newspapers. We get it online. What are they going to do? Well, they're going out of business is what
right.
they're doing.
Right. It's really astonishing the changes that have taken place in recent years with through technology and through so-called new economies. And frankly, mm-hmm. We've been kind of watching the so-called new economy since the internet boom bubble of the 90s.
Yeah.
Remember, we were watching the old ZD TV.
Oh yes, yes.
And we used to watch the show hosted by John C. Dvorak.
Yes, exactly. And he would have these young, whippersnapper kids out of who were traders, day traders, and mm-hmm. they would come on and they'd say, "No, I'm sorry, but it's not your dad's market. It's not your. It's just all different now." And of course, they were ate up in the head. They thought that because they were making money out of thin air,
right?
And they thought, what is it? Not price to earnings? Is that what it is? The P to E ratio.
Right,
but
right.
anyway, they said that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, they were right, because it doesn't matter anymore. What you can get, what people are willing to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, day trading and commodities and derivatives, those have become one big legalized gambling joint.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's roulette on a global scale, and that is what led to the House of Cards that collapsed with the mortgage implosion in 2006, 2007.
And I will remind everybody of Revelation 18, where it talks about the kings of the earth who have, the woman who has been judged, and how the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And it goes to list all of these real commodities, but at the very end it says, and slaves and the souls of men.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that are being traded by the merchants of the earth. And I would argue that trading things like our financial instruments, our mm-hmm. mortgages, things like that, essentially putting our lives at risk.
Securities backed by life insurance policies?
Yes, I was about to bring that
up.
Those things are trading on mm-hmm. the souls of men.
Yeah. Boy, this is reminded us of the transaction years back when AOL was at the peak of its market capitalization, when AOL just came out of nowhere and bought Time Warner,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was like, How in the world is this happening?
It's like this ant eating a groundhog.
Yeah, exactly. How in the world is this happening? AOL, which has since been split off again from Time Warner, how did they get so big that they were actually able to swallow up Time Warner?
Well, they lied about what they really had.
In some extent, right. And their valuation had no bearing to reality. And that, we're just kind of wondering about this international commodity exchange. Where did it come from? Now, in reading a little bit of background on this, and neither one of us is an expert in international finance, so take that, take our opinion for what it's worth, but the New York Stock Exchange apparently has seen its share of international stock and commodity trading decline in recent years from about an 82% market share. I mean, the New York Stock Exchange was, and it was in my mind until reading this article today, was the big dog as far as international finance. But its share of the international exchange has dropped from like 82% to about 27 or 28%. And in large part because of the growth in the trade of these derivatives, which again, have no bearing to any product or service, in many cases, that people can actually buy. In other words, you're not investing in a company that makes cars or widgets or washing machines or anything. You're betting, as in the case of these life insurance-backed securities, on the deaths of Americans.
On the souls of men.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So so the New York Stock Exchange is becoming a subsidiary of the Intercontinental Exchange. And apparently this is not the first time ICE tried to buy the New York Stock Exchange. They attempted a hostile takeover last year in conjunction with the NASDAQ Exchange.
Yeah.
And it was rejected by U.S. government officials because they thought that ICE would control too large a share of American stock trading. I think the focus of this deal is the overseas trading, which is probably what ICE wanted anyway, because as I understand it, again, with my limited understanding of international finance, the global trade in these financial derivatives is really where the action is at. And the global trade in international derivatives, if I remember right, is something like 5 or 6 times the combined gross domestic product of every country on planet Earth.
Which makes no sense.
I mean, these guys are betting back and forth. You get these weird financial instruments, and then you've got these credit default swaps, which are, you know, bets made on whether or not other companies will be able to actually come up with the money when it comes time to settle.
And these are just the things that we know about.
Exactly.
I mean, you and I know about this. Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure that there are all sorts of other trades that are going on, perhaps above the table and under the table, that are entirely questionable.
Well, and if you don't understand this, don't feel badly. I understand that from reading about the collapse back in 2006, 2008, that Ben Bernanke, who's the head of the Federal Reserve Bank.
Tim Geithner might be taking his place.
Oh, yay. Timmy.
Uh-huh. I know. Tim.
Bernanke had to call some experts in to give him a briefing and explain to him exactly what credit default swaps were, because Ben Bernanke didn't know what they were. So, you know, I mean, that's how weird and bizarre these things are. So anyway, that's
somewhere Hillary Clinton is just fainting.
Yes, she's got the vapors.
Lord.
So anyway, this is a news item that will probably have an impact on our daily lives in ways that we don't even begin to grasp at this point.
No.
But you're right. I think the financial elite are just figuring out more ways to swap money back and forth.
Lots of things are going on financially. I don't know if we've done a show since this happened, but the European Central Bank is now essentially the Federal Reserve of the European Union. Mm-hmm. The ECB has been given pretty much a blank check over the other banks within the Eurozone. Eurozone are all those countries within the European Union that trade the euro. So we've got the pigs that we've been talking about, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain have had lots of credit problems over the last couple of years. And the European Central Bank was relatively weak. It didn't have a whole lot of funding, didn't have a whole lot of power, and was trying to shore those countries up. That wasn't helping, and now big meeting happened over the last few weeks, and ECB is now really powerful, lots of muscle.
Hmm. Well, that's something that they've been trying to do all along, to try to weld that unit together.
Great Britain is still not biting. They're not going with the euro.
No. But they've been trying
to... Does Germany trade in euros? No, they do.
Yes, they do.
They do. But they're ready to go back to marks anytime.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's... there have been guys trying to unify Europe since the days of Julius Caesar.
I say we go on the Twinkie, commodities. That Twinkie replaces the dollar...
Well, unlike the dollar, which can be the supply of which can be adjusted at any time by the U.S. Treasury just printing more. The supply of Twinkies has now reached a fixed limit. So at least there's some demand there.
Oh, they'll probably be bought up. Hostess will no doubt be bought up by guy down in Mexico. Well, to other news, I just want to bring up something that I found really, really interesting. You and I talked about this the other day, and some of you may have already seen this story that came out a few days ago about a woman who had a sort of a pioneering stem cell treatment to fix her sagging eyelids. Mm-hmm. It was a cosmetic treatment, and stem cells were removed from her fat, and apparently... The fat was somehow treated in a lab, and they precipitated out stem cells that didn't turn into what they hoped they would. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the surgery had 3 months early. The new procedure was essentially a stem cell facelift. Doctors had extracted adult stem cells, from her belly fat, isolating them, and then injected them along with a filler, calcium hydroxyapatite. Sorry, hydroxylapatite. And apparently that calcium hydroxylapatite somehow worked with these stem cells and created bone.
Yeah.
in her eyelid.
Yeah. Which led to a very disturbing clicking noise when she closed her eyes.
Yeah,
because
the bones were like grinding together.
Yeah.
Little bone fragments.
Yeah, so they were able to remove those, and so she's doing much better now. But she
may grow more bone.
Yes, right. They don't know what those stem cells that are still in there are going
to be. In fact, according to the article, it took the doctor, the surgeon, 7 hours to figure out what was going on inside her eyelid. 7 hours. Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
Yes. For what you would hope would be a relatively minor procedure.
It should have, yes, indeed. So, I don't know. Stem cells sounds like a bad idea to me.
Well, for cosmetic treatments, yes. I mean, there are some, and we're talking about adult stem cells here, not embryonic stem cells. There's a big difference between the two. Embryonic stem cells requires killing the embryo, which means you essentially have to clone more embryos in order to generate more stem cells.
And, well, that's a whole nother
discussion.
There are
some genuine and very
really cutting-edge
treatments that have been developed from adult stem cells.
Yes.
Embryonic stem cells, nothing yet, because when you... Well, the tests that they've done with animals, when they inject the embryonic stem cells into the animals, the cells just...
They often become cancerous.
Right. They don't stop growing.
Exactly.
And when you have cells that engage in unregulated continuous growth, that's what you call
cancer.
That's
the whole point. Embryonic stem cells, embryonic DNA works differently than adult or even post-birth DNA. Mm-hmm. Totally different.
Yeah. Well, as expected, in the wake of the horrific event in Newtown, Connecticut, 1 week ago today, the shootings there that left 26 dead, 20 children dead. Of course, we're seeing all kinds of political maneuvering in the United States. Progressives wanting to embark on a new round of gun control measures and legislation. I don't think it's going to get anywhere here in the United States, frankly. I just don't think there is enough political muscle out there to convince people here in the heartland that the government needs to take away their guns.
And it doesn't seem to matter if you're a Democrat or Republican.
Right.
Yes, primarily Republicans are the ones who say we believe in the NRA. However, there are a lot of Democrats who do, and perhaps they have been funded in part by the NRA, but maybe they just like, you know, hunting. They want to be able to, but you know, you don't need, I know that there are some who may say they do, but I'm not really sure you need a semi-automatic weapon to go hunting, unless you're hunting a boar or something that may run at you and you really very quickly fire off some rounds. You and I were shopping today. We were at Family Dollar, one of my favorite stores. You can get a lot of bang for your buck there. Mm-hmm. Family Dollar, we're walking down the toy aisle, and there's this Bushmaster AK, you know, like it was the 223, a child replica of a Bushmaster.
Right. A toy.
A toy with camo coloring.
And there was a toy hand grenade in that box as well.
Oh, I missed that.
No, yeah, that was part of the package. Toy hand grenade.
It isn't just video games.
Well,
it isn't just movies. I know that boys love to play with things like that. For goodness sake, you know, how is that appropriate? A little kid is allowed to play with something that was the instrument. I know it wasn't. Mm-hmm. The guy could have gone in there with something else, and you'll get to that in a minute. It wasn't just the gun that killed those children. But it seems like an odd thing.
Well, yeah. But, you know, I don't know what the answer to that is. I see your point, and I understand that, you know, teaching our kids that inflicting pain, inflicting injury, and on other humans is wrong, because ultimately we are all created in the image of God. Now, I'll say again, that doesn't mean God is a biped about 6 feet tall with 10 fingers and toes. We are created uniquely among the biological units on planet Earth as God's imagers, to use the word Mike Heiser uses, God's agents upon planet Earth. And we are, and human life is precious because of that.
And that's a job that is, it's a tremendous responsibility that even if we were still, you know, pre-Adam and Eve, I should say pre-fall, even if Adam and Eve had never fallen, you and I would be discussing this, saying how great a responsibility it is that the Lord has placed upon humankind.
Mm-hmm. And with the...
We're not very good at it either.
The drift away from God and with the... and the move toward this utilitarian view of human life. Like human life is only has value if your quality of life is above a certain level deemed appropriate by the medical community or bioethicist. In other words, if you've got full use of your limbs or your mind or your voice or whatever, unless you have that kind of utility, then your life really isn't worth living and you should just end it all because you're taking up, you know, resources that other people who can contribute to society might use.
Well, I know you're going to get
that. And that is horrible. That is a horrible way to view, you know, our brothers and sisters, regardless of what they believe around us.
I need to ask you a question really quickly.
Okay.
I hear static.
Yeah, me too. I don't think
is
it's gonna,
going on the recording?
It may, but not, it's not going to be enough for people to notice.
Do you think the secret things we're saying will go on the recording?
Only if they play the MP3 backwards.
Yeah, well, we
and filter out the certain select frequencies.
Back masking tape. That's what we use.
I thought it was duct tape.
Yes. No, I want to just remind you of the story really quickly so we don't forget it. The things that are going on in China.
No, I've got that up here on the screen to talk about next.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
It's just, you know, from time immemorial, though, you know, how do we get away from this cycle? Because, you know, as a kid growing up, and I'm not a violent guy, I can count on less than two hands the number of physical altercations I've had in my life, where and including childhood fights. Okay, so you know I'm not one that normally resorts to violence in order to settle things. But even as kids, you know, playing cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians, you know, army, whatever, there are times when boys just naturally are going to pretend like we're shooting each other, or if you're emulating your favorite pro wrestler, you know, body slamming or drop kicking or whatever. It's just a natural form of play. Even going back to the early days of cinema, where the restrictions put on Hollywood by Washington, D.C. were a lot tighter than they are today, you still saw a glorification of gangland violence with actors like Cagney and Edward G. Robinson and Humphrey Bogart as stars. You know, war movies in the 1940s when we were fighting World War II. How do we keep young men from idolizing those things? And now it's even more invasive because it's taken out of the movie theaters and it's brought into our homes through MMORPGs, you know, guys playing, you know, World of Warcraft or whatever the popular first-person shooter games are.
Adam Lanza was doing,
right?
Apparently.
How do we demythologize? How do we, that's not the right word, but.
Well, even before guns came along, I mean, that's what I was going to ask you. What did young men do, say, 1,000 years ago?
Well, no doubt they did it with bows and arrows.
That's just it.
And as you mentioned, China. I mean, you know, the Chinese, and this is the irony of this, the Chinese government on the day after the shootings in Newtown, Connecticut, the Chinese government issued a statement saying that the United States needed to take control of the supply of guns inside the United States. We needed to exercise strict gun control to prevent more massacres. And while there is a point there in that having a semi-automatic gun makes it easier to go into a school or some other gun-free zone and start picking people off until somebody is able to take down the shooter. In China, they have had a series of incidents where adult men have gone into schools with knives, in one case a cleaver, in one case a hammer, and taken out a bunch of children. Over the last 2 years now in China, and I had the story up, and now I've lost the story. Here
it
is.
Did you put it in Instapaper?
No, it's this is pulled from a Wikipedia article. Beginning in March of 2010, some 22 children and 90, about 21 children have died, and about 90 have been injured from adult men walking into schools and just stabbing, hacking, bashing, in one case with an axe, using edged weapons to strike out and lash out at children. And in fact, the most recent attack took place on the same day as the shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. 1 week ago today, December 14th, 22 children injured in the village of Chenping in Henan Province. 23 children, rather, stabbed, and an elderly woman in a primary school. And it was only when teachers in the school, armed with brooms, managed to get the guy out in the street when police showed up to take the guy down. You know, so it doesn't require a gun for this sort of thing to happen. Gun control does not mean that evil men will stop doing evil things.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. What is it we're saying? We're saying it's not the weapon.
Yes, there's a spirit at work here that is driving and compelling and leading and luring and people into doing these evil things. Now, yes, the
in some cases, it may simply be the fallen nature of the person.
Right.
However, very often, it's more than the fallen nature of the person, of the shooter or the hammer wielder or whatever. The person doing the killing is prompted and compelled by a spirit, an
That's
actual
right.
entity, or even entities.
Yeah, and this, to come back to a topic we've discussed many times here, the Black Awakening that Russ Dizdar says he has heard about from numerous people that he's worked with who are under demonic oppression or possession. You know, is this an instance of what the Black Awakening will look like, where you have people just walking in and starting to commit atrocities and kill innocent people?
And this brings us back around to what happened this morning. The move into this new age, some call it the move into the age of Aquarius, mm-hmm. that technically we are now in the age of Aquarius. We have been moving into it, but now we are smack into it. It could be that New Age believers, New Age adherents, are looking at this shift and expecting an actual shift of consciousness, an actual upgrading, so to speak, of humanity. And this, in many ways, it is a spiritual battle that Christianity has just stepped aside from, said, no, we don't want to believe in the supernatural aspects mm-hmm. of the Bible.
Yep.
We don't want to preach this from the pulpit. We don't want to teach this in Sunday schools. We just, this is just hard. It makes our head hurt. So go away with your supernatural aspects. Yes, we believe in Jesus. Yes, we believe he was resurrected. But don't be talking to us about some supernatural battle.
Yeah, that's spooky. And because I can't see it, feel it, touch it, I don't really believe in it. I mean, that stuff all ended when the apostles shuffled off this mortal coil. You know, beyond the first century, it didn't happen.
No. In fact, we're told in the Bible to expect it to get worse mm-hmm. as we get closer to Christ's return. And it is getting worse. And I think that as far as the Black Awakening is concerned, and Russ felt that once we moved into this new age, so to speak, that the Black Awakening may actually begin to unfold in large numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, we may be seeing beginnings of that. And it doesn't mean, we're not preaching, you know, you got to be fearful, you got to get doom on, you got to get in your bunker. And we're not saying any of that. We are saying, understand, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that you just arm yourself by, first of all, reading the Word, praying, being with other believers when you can. You know, the Apostle Paul actually lists the things that you arm yourself with, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. These are things that help you in that spiritual battle. It's far more than the physical things that we're having to deal with every mm-hmm. day. Can I pay my bills on time? You know, can I get my children to school? Can I put shoes on their feet? There's a spiritual aspect to our everyday walk. And that's what we're saying. Trust in Christ. If you are a Christian, yes, we may be called upon to experience some tough times, but God is bigger than any of these times, and if you are in his hand, you are protected. So don't fear. Rejoice, because Christ's coming is one day closer.
That's right. That's right. And sadly, these markers along the way, like the incident in Newtown, Connecticut, like the incident in Henan province in China, where evil men are either scarring for life or taking the lives of innocent children will likely increase. We see things like this happening in Africa, not widely reported in Western news because it's, you know, it's on another continent.
Exactly.
And it doesn't involve, you know, celebrities here in the West. And
unless Angelina Jolie goes there.
Yeah, but there are things happening over there where children are being abducted and killed for use in rituals by you know, witch doctors and practitioners of dark arts who believe that using body parts taken from slain children have some special magic that will grant them powers or freedom from disease or what have you. There are just evil things happening all over. You remember a story that happened back in November where that house in Indianapolis exploded?
Yes.
And there was some speculation out there that maybe this was a drone attack or something. No, actually, in Indianapolis today, the police, and this just moved across the wire here this afternoon, police there have arrested three people. The two people who lived in the home and the brother of the man who lived there, apparently they had removed valves that regulate natural gas into the home and into a fireplace in the home, and then a programmable microwave was set to ignite a spark. They blew up the house, and they had just coincidentally increased the amount of property insurance on the home to about $300,000. This was apparently a scam to defraud their insurance company, and it wound up in the deaths of two neighbors when the house exploded.
And I think it affected 80 homes.
Yes, it did. So, when you view, place no value on the lives of other humans around you, things like that, well, it's collateral damage, no big deal.
What a world.
Yeah.
Can I just get to something that you and I recently did, and I think it's something worth talking about. If you didn't get a chance to view it, and I don't think I'm not sure the video is even up.
No, it was not archived.
Okay, it wasn't archived at all. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Derek and I had the pleasure of spending some time with Avi Davis of the American Freedom Alliance. He actually invited Tom Horn to share some time with him and his people within his community out there in California. They were going to screen a 1-hour interview that Tom did with Ken Klein some time back about transhumanism. And Avi had asked Tom to join him via Skype and answer some questions after the audience viewed this 1-hour film. Tom couldn't do it, so he contacted us. And we ended up contacting Wesley J. Smith, and so it took three of us
to fill in for Tom Horn.
We had just such a good time, and we also got to chat with Brian Gadawa, who happened to be there because he thought we were actually going to be there. We were just on the screen we did a Google Hangout. And the young man who was taking care of things from that end, I think he had forgotten to check a box on the Hangout.
Yeah.
And so that's why it wasn't archived. So we apologize that that's not available. But we'll plan on doing things like that in the future because it was a really good discussion. And Wesley J. Smith had some amazing insights regarding the legality of what's going on in the transhuman movement. And the big question you have to start with is, are we unique as human beings?
Exactly.
Is there something special about us?
Yeah. Wesley J. Smith is probably, along with Tom Horn, the two most important, in my view, the two most important thinkers on this topic right now. And Tom, of course, approaches things from a Christian perspective. Wesley J. Smith is a Christian, but he's approaching this from a logical perspective.
He's trying to find a wider
logic
platform.
Right. And I think he's wise in doing so because while it's important to wake the church up, because really the Christian church for the most part is asleep on the subject of transhumanism. Some really smart people that we know who are, committed Bible-believing Christians have never even heard the term transhumanism or had not heard it until we mentioned it to them. So it's important to wake up the church, but for society at large, if you approach the topic by saying humans are exceptional because we're created in the image of God, immediately there are all kinds of assumptions and baggage attached to that phrase by various groups. I mean, various denominations within Christianity. Well, what do you mean by God? And then, of course, there are other people of different faiths who would agree that transhumanism is a bad thing, but if you approach it from the standpoint, if they perceive that you're approaching it from the standpoint of an evangelical, fundamentalist, Bible-believing, whatever, Christian,
they're not going to hear you.
They're not going to hear you. And of course, then there are those who don't believe in God, but still believe that human life has unique and exceptional value, that humans are exceptional among all of the life on planet Earth. on different grounds. If you again approach it from the standpoint of as a Christian, they won't listen, because as soon as you bring God into the discussion, they tune out. Wesley J. Smith is approaching this on logical grounds. And when you get right down to it, the reason that this is an important discussion is because transhumanism, when you strip away the science fiction veneer, the shiny, happy future, it's nothing more than eugenics. It's nothing more than eugenics.
With a New Age spin.
With a New Age spin, right. And eugenics was the motivating factor, one of the main motivating factors or driving forces behind the Nazi Party, the cult of the National Socialist Party in Nazi Germany. The movement behind the eugenics movement here in the United States. It just believed that we needed to weed out the unfit, mm-hmm. which included everyone of color, mm-hmm. and anyone who showed any kind of physical or mental deficiency or deformity.
If you were poor.
That was evidence that you were unfit to survive.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And there was something about your genetics that made you poor.
Right. And transhumanism is, again, it's the same spirit with the science fiction veneer.
Well, take a look at the Georgia Guidestones, because those they call for the reduction of the world's population by 90%.
Mm-hmm.
They want only 10% left.
To a sustainable level.
Right. Which is, in many ways, the global changes platform, the ecology platform, the Greenpeace platform, those are parcel and part of eugenics, because mm-hmm. they are now the lever that's going to pry, you know, humanity as we know it out of place. And I think we in this discussion, we talked with Wesley J. Smith about that very question that has to be the first one you ask, because you said, are we unique? Is there something about humanity that makes our DNA mm-hmm. something that you shouldn't play with? Is our DNA really different from animal DNA? And then he would say, well, it is animal DNA. It's mm-hmm. the same thing.
Yeah. But then
it isn't.
Right. The mere fact that we can have this conversation, and that alone among the species on planet Earth are capable of having this conversation, to debate this topic, would suggest that we are unique and exceptional among all the species on planet Earth.
But there are those who believe that trees have, you know, life within them, that they have spirits within them.
Mm-hmm.
There's some crazy beliefs out
there.
Well,
the thing that I don't understand is this. If we are no more than animals, and we have no more right to live than animals, and yet then somehow it's our responsibility to make sure that we cull our own herd to protect it. What about the environmental pressure by, you know, let the lions come in and take a, you know, if we're not fit to live, you know, why aren't the lions taking over?
Why
or the bears?
Exactly.
Or the wolves? I mean, yeah,
why is it not survival of the fittest?
Exactly.
Which was the way it was, well.
Let them grow thumbs.
But survival of the fittest was cast out by the eugenicists. They didn't believe that was really going to take care of things. Somehow they had this superior feeling mm-hmm. that they alone could choose. It was a very godlike position.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the
irony of the whole thing, because, you know, we are as gods and we have the right to, but we're not exceptional.
Exactly. I know. Well, and once again, we get back to where we are day one of the brand new, you know, because the New Age movement, which is, really, as I said, it's part and parcel. Take that with eugenics. If the eugenics movement and the New Age movement got together, had a night of love,
mm-hmm.
and had a child, it would be transhumanism.
Yeah, yeah. You really should log in and read Wesley J. Smith's blog at National Review Online. It's called Human Exceptionalism, and kudos to the National Review for recognizing this as an important issue and devoting space at their website and giving Wesley J. Smith a platform to bring this issue to the public. Now, a lot of what National Review writes, I disagree with. They support Republicans uber alles. You know, Republicans are always there, you know, and that tends to be, you know, drift into pretty neocon territory, at least in recent years. But at least on this issue, the National Review is taking the right stand, and Wesley J. Smith is a guy whose work you should follow.
Yeah, he was really something else. Yeah. Speaking of Brian Godawa, whom I mentioned a few minutes ago, you chatted with him last night, and he's going to be on VFTB this week.
That's right. View from the Bunker this week. He's got a new novel out, which, even though it's about a guy who lived about 3,500 years ago, about 2,500 B.C., the issues raised in the novel are actually very current. The new novel in his Chronicles of the Nephilim series is Gilgamesh Immortal, and it's about the legendary, or mythical, some say, Sumerian king. Although back in 2003, and remember we talked about this several times on PID Radio, that German archaeologists operating in Iraq just prior to the American invasion announced that they believed that they had found the tomb of Gilgamesh underneath the former course of the Euphrates River.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and he is listed on the Sumerian king list. So it's possible that he truly was, you know, a genuine historical person. But the legend, the story goes that he was two-thirds God, one-third human.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we brought him up, I recall, was because scientists recently, geneticists have announced that they can actually now create
you can have
zygotes from, with the DNA of three parents.
Yeah, it's been around for a while, but it's just recently been announced.
So anyway, he follows the track of the life of Gilgamesh, and according to the myths that have survived from the old tablets in Babylon and Sumer, Gilgamesh was seeking the secret of immortality. I mean, to the point where he actually went to and sought out the Sumerian equivalent of Noah, a character named Zayasudra, and to ask him, you know, what the secret was. I mean, Noah lived a long time after the flood.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And was a contemporary of Gilgamesh.
In fact, he may have been alive when Abraham was born.
Yes. So anyway, Brian brings all of that in. And essentially what it comes down to is this. Gilgamesh was a transhumanist. He was trying to find a way through his own actions to escape the limits of his own biology, to become immortal through his own actions. And that's what the transhumanists are trying to do today. Ray Kurzweil, trying to upload our consciousness into some giant
cosmic mainframe. He does want to be a brain in a jar.
Yes.
So this tomb was found in the old route, the old course of the Euphrates?
I believe that's correct.
The reason I got the look in my eye when you said that is because I suddenly thought, you know, that passage in Scripture where it talks about the four angels bound in
the river Euphrates. Yes, yes.
What if it's the old course? Not where it is now, but the old course.
Interesting. I'm looking up the story now, and I've bookmarked this article. I keep coming back to it from the April 29th, 2003 edition of BBC News online, and the article is still there. German-led expedition has discovered what is thought to be the entire city of Uruk, U-R-U-K, which incidentally is just Iraq under a different spelling. Isn't it interesting when they renamed the country after World War One? They picked the name of Nimrod's old kingdom.
I think they just pulled that out of thin air. That couldn't have been the same thing.
Including where the Euphrates once flowed, the last resting place of its famous king. So yes, it was the former course of the Euphrates River in the city of Iraq, Uruk, which was discovered just prior to the American invasion in 2003. So interesting stuff. So anyway, that discussion about the new novel, Gilgamesh Immortal, Chronicles of the Nephilim, Book 3, will be up at vftb.net this weekend.
How about that?
So there's that. Well, you know, I was debating whether or not to play this because it's kind of lighthearted and we went into kind of heavy direction here. But the Mitchell and Webb thing, just a little audio from that. Nah, let's let it go. Okay.
We'll play that next time.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to, boys and girls.
Yeah. Television program that might have been had we, in fact, endured the event. Time since the event started now, 13 hours, 6 minutes.
Another time.
Yeah. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content copyright Gilbert House and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.